So what do I mean by work-life balance? What does it mean exactly? So different people have different idea about work-life balance. People think of work-life balance like a seesaw. That means if you're working, so that means you have to compromise your personal life. And if you are living your personal life, that means you have to compromise on work. So they imagine work life like a seesaw. But it is not so. Work and life is complementary to each other. Imagine like a cycle, and one pedal of a cycle is work and other pedal of the cycle is life. So we have to move on both the pedals so that the cycle moves ahead. Similarly, work and life are complementary to each other, and one complements the other, and it's not exclusive to each other. So both are necessary so that the cycle goes ahead. So work and life are equally important so that we progress in life. Now we'll revisit what people do think about work and what people think about leisure, and then we'll come to the conclusion of how to balance it all. Okay. So we'll discuss about pros and cons of work, then we'll discuss about pros and cons of leisure, and then we'll discuss about how to balance them both. So first about work. So what are the pros of work? Sorry, what are the cons of work? First, we'll see downsides of work. Okay, what are the cons of, what are the bad effects of work? What happens when a person doesn't handle work properly? See, people have got wrong idea of productivity. You know, they have got wrong idea of success. They idealize Steve Jobs or Warren Buffett, who earns a huge amount of money, or those Forbes 500 list. Or people idealize somebody like very talented cricketers and actors and celebrities. You know? So wealth and status is always admired and followed. But people don't see the process. They just see the outcome. So in the bargain, sometimes we end up becoming workaholics. You know, in Japan, there's a term known as karoshi. Karoshi means death due to overwork. So sometimes overwork or being workaholic can lead to even our physical health getting damaged. So compulsive working and work addiction is different. Being a workaholic is not a good, doesn't mean we are productive. So people have this notion that if they are workaholic, that means they are productive. But it is not so. It is not that you put 15, 16 hours working and that will give rise to benefit. So even though there may be CEOs who may be working certain hours a day, so it doesn't mean we have to follow them. So it's a process that has taken them towards this journey. It's not that we are just seeing the outcome. So we don't know what process they've been through. Secondly, sometimes we are like this proverbial rabbit. You know, the rabbit has this tendency of, you know, for being fast and furious, whereas tortoise has this tendency of being slow and steady. So for rabbit, fast and furious wins the race, not slow and steady. So we are like those rabbits. We want to, you know, jump the corporate ladder. We don't want to climb the corporate ladder. We want to, you know, be the CEOs and the directors, and we want to achieve everything very fast. So we don't have patience to wait. We cannot take one thing at a time. So in that drive for becoming too ambitious, sometimes we are not in the present moment. And then we end up compromising our health and our relationships. So cons of work could be that we are either too ambitious, or it may be that we are too lazy also, or too laid back. Sometimes we are stuck in some dead end jobs and we are languishing in those jobs and we don't want to change those jobs. We are not getting that raise, that promotion, or we are not getting to learn anything, but still we are languishing in that dead end jobs just because that job gives us identity. Or we don't have anything else to do. We can't imagine life apart from our jobs. So being like a hare is also bad. Being like a tortoise and languishing in the same job is also bad. We have to balance it out and see the pros and cons and weigh our strengths and weaknesses. So these are the cons of work. Like, we don't have to end up being a workaholic. Neither we have to work like a hare, work very much too much, or nor we have to work like a tortoise and be slow and steady and be too slow. So we discussed about cons of work, and now what are the pros of work? What are the good aspects of work? So how we can actually enjoy work and make the most out of work? So people think that work is boring, you know, just 9-to-5 job, our routine, usual, the grind, the day-to-day stuff. They think of work as boring, but work is not boring. Work kind of gives rise to structure in our life. People who are in jail, who commit crimes, once they have served their period in jail, they again commit crimes so that they are put in jail again. Because jail kind of gives them a structure. Prison kind of gives them a structure. So similarly, work, I don't mean work is like a prison, but work gives kind of structure to our lives so that our routine is set. No, otherwise we don't have our routine and neither we have our identity. And so people believe work takes away from their social life, but it is not so. In fact, work is an amalgam of different cultures. We meet people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different racial backgrounds, from different status of the society, strata of the society. Even gossiping about the boss is kind of good venting out phenomenon. It helps in bonding together. So work helps in good social life, and even works help brings out our creativity. You know, in our personal life, people are used to consuming a lot of stuff. They are into consuming OTT platforms, consuming social media, consuming all the news that they go through. But while we are working, it's the only time when we are producing something, when we are creating something, when we are bringing out our best. You know? So these are the good part of work. Work gives us social structure, gives us a routine, and even work brings out our creativity. So we have to look at work in a different way, and there are the different ways where we can look at work. But at the end of the day, what we can do to manage our work effectively. Okay, we'll discuss our personal life and leisure, but what we can do to manage our work effectively. First of all, the art of managing work is not time management. People think that if they manage time well, they can manage their work well. No? But it was during Industrial Revolution when they were assembly line workers. That time, the amount of hours they put into work that translated into money. So suppose there was 9-to-5 jobs and they would do overtime, then during overtime they would get more money. So that time was equal to money during Industrial Revolution. But now it's not time, it's efficiency. How much efficiency you put into your work. So in short time you can do maximum work, that is what is rewarded. So now it's more than the time, it's efficiency that is important, that people look forward to. And how we can raise our efficiency is to first of all raise our energy levels. Now how we can increase our energy levels? For sleep, appetite and exercise. Sleep, diet and exercise are the three cornerstones of good energy levels. Many of us hardly get any sleep. We don't get proper 8 hours of sleep, and even if we get our 8 hours of sleep, we are not refreshed in the morning. We are lethargic all the time. Now, there are many reasons for not sleeping properly. They range from either our clock going haywire, clock known as circadian rhythm in our brain, or even our homeostatic drive is not regulated properly. In the sense, we don't get tired enough to sleep properly. So, and there are different reasons for that. They could range from either lack of sunlight exposure to the environment at home, to the exposure to screens, and many other reasons. Our diet is also not proper. We don't receive a nutritious diet because we are not in touch with our hunger. We are not in touch with our satiety levels. So, thus giving rise to various sorts of eating disorders. We see binge eating disorder, even this emotional eating and overeating, and we get addicted to some fad diets. Then exercise. How many of us do exercise? So we live this kind of sedentary lifestyle in front of screens and in a single cubicle. So we hardly move ourselves. Movement is lacking, and they give rise to a lot of lifestyle related illnesses like diabetes, blood pressure, insomnia. Many of us suffer from these kind of illnesses. Thus, our energy levels go haywire. So, we are not sleeping properly, we are not eating properly, neither do we exercise properly, so energy levels plummet, and that impacts work. Again, focus also impacts work. How much focus do we have? Now, I know people, they can hardly read a page of a book. You know, they cannot sustain their attention to read even a page. Maximum they can read is Twitter headlines. All of us are distracted so much, so often. We are forgetful. We cannot remember anything. We cannot focus on anything. Main cost of something that takes our attention is task switching activities. For example, suppose you are working on a presentation or you are studying. Some notification comes on phone. Our mind is shifted over there, and then the effort to bring our mind again to the task at hand, again to the presentation, becomes very difficult. So this task switching activities, this multitasking, this distractibility, these cost our attention, and then we are not focused. So lack of focus and lack of energy levels, these impact our efficiency, and that's the reason why we are not working properly. Now we have discussed about work and what are the aspects of work. Now we'll discuss a little bit our leisure and about our personal life. So people think that leisure is the, no, is the holy grail. Leisure is everything. If I have a good leisure, that means that's it. That's what I want in life. Nothing else. But there are cons of leisure also. There are, leisure is not all what it seems. Leisure is not party and no responsibilities, not all fun. So we'll see about what are the bad aspects of leisure. First thing is, people suffer from holiday blues. You know, many of, now Diwali festival is coming. There'll be Navratri is coming now. There'll be Diwali. There are New Year celebrations. But sometimes a lot of us get a lot of lonely during these celebrations, because we feel that we are the only ones and we are not celebrating as others are celebrating. And our expectations don't match of what we are supposed to do. For example, during New Year, I expect myself to have a grand party and a bash. And if it doesn't happen, I feel lonely and I feel sad. I feel I'm left out and nobody cares about me. So thus, it gives rise to holiday blues. Second, vacations also are a source of stress. Suppose when a person goes to a vacation, he or she imagines that they'll live a kind of a beautiful by the beach, there'll be a resort, or certain ideas of vacation they have. Maybe reality is different. Maybe there's no Wi-Fi where we reach. Maybe there's no, the food is not that great. We may not get enough sleep, or we end up just running around all day sightseeing to different places. So we get more exhausted than when we are working also. So it's not rest that we, or rest or rejuvenation that we get, but we get more stressed out when we are vacationing. So these are the cons. And other thing is, when we get too much time on our hands, you know, the boredom sets in, and boredom is very painful. Ask a person who's retired. You know, the retirement or even unemployment kind of gives rise to a lot of empty time, and empty time becomes a devil's workshop. Unnecessary thoughts enter our mind, and they kind of gives us to a lot of stress, which leads to anxiety and depression. Thus, leisure is not that what we expect, that once we have leisure, everything will be fine. So there's a different aspect, different way we can look forward to leisure. So what we can do to have a great leisure, have a good, to have a good time when we relax and we refresh ourselves. So now, pros of leisure. Leisure is very important in our life, because then it can help us bounce back in our work and gives us great energy to bounce back. Now, we are money rich and time poor. A lot of us keep on working so much that they accumulate a lot of money, but they don't have time on their hands. This time is very important so that we spend time with our friends, with our family, with our loved ones, or we do the activities that we love. Now, if we don't have that time, what happens is we just keep on accumulating money and accumulating possessions. Now, possessions like cars and your houses, possessions may give rise to pleasure, but not happiness. Now, happiness occurs when we find a sense of purpose or meaning in what we do. Now, that gives rise to happiness. So, money and running around kind of just can buy us possessions and not happiness. Whereas, if we spend time in good leisure activities, we can actually derive happiness from there. Because, see, the children, they play in open, or our hunter-gatherer ancestors, they used to get involved in play. So when we are playing, when we are outdoors, when we are boundless, that's when we realize our strengths and weaknesses, and that's when we realize our purpose or sense of what we where we belong, or what are our great, what we can achieve. So it's important to spend time for ourselves where we play, where we let ourselves loose. It may be a game of tennis, it may be some hobbies that we are involved into, it may be pot making or mountain climbing, but it's good to have some time, not just run after money. Secondly, burnout is very common these days. Burnout happens because we are exhausted from the demands of the society, demands of our family, demands from our boss. We keep on giving to everybody. You know, anybody demands anything out of us, we keep on giving them. And then we get burnt out and exhausted and tired, leading to depression. So when we get involved in active leisure activities like playing game of football or tennis, or we go for some trek, that time we are physically exhausting ourselves, not mentally. So when we are physically exhausting, that time we are mentally refreshed. Whereas if we are working continuously without any limits, we are mentally exhausting ourselves. So if a child is not able to study, I tell him to go and take a walk. And taking a walk itself kind of refreshes, the physical activity kind of refreshes, so that mind just opens up. Then he can study better. Thirdly, stress. Now, a good leisure helps in de-stressing ourselves much more than anything. Because see, some amount of stress is always necessary, which is known as eustress. All stress is not bad. Little stress is good. Exams are good so that they help us in, you know, help students in studying. Deadlines are important. Because of deadlines, employees actually start working. So stress is not all bad. Even feedback from the, even criticism from the boss can be perceived as a feedback so that we can improve. So it is known as eustress, good stress. So, but over the time, what happens is work becomes routine and routine becomes boring. So then we can find those challenges outside of work in our leisure activities. Maybe we could challenge ourselves to to having a particular weight or to getting a particular physique or maybe traveling the world or whatever we set ourselves up to. So our personal life can give rise to that kind of goals and challenges. We can actually rejuvenate and we feel purposeful and we have a goal. So leisure, so there are pros of leisure which is very helpful. And how we can, so what we can do, so we discussed about work, pros and cons of work, we discussed about pros and cons of leisure. Now what we can do to balance both, now it's important part of balancing. So how we can bring it all together now. So first of all, it's important to manage our personal life in a good way. The key to manage personal life is to have a good boundaries between work and life. You know, the work cannot be involved with life, life cannot be mixed with work. For example, now there may be time when we are working too much, because if we have exams, if we have deadlines, or if we have a lot of responsibilities because our colleague has left the work. So there may be time when there are too many responsibilities, and there may be time when we are actually on, when we are free, where we are vacationing, and or our spouse is pregnant, or probably we are taking a break or a sabbatical. So there may be time when we are working more or living life more, but we should not mix the two ideally, and there should not be a lot of spillover that is happening, because it's a spillover that causes a lot of problems. For example, suppose when he switches the laptop, he or she switches the laptop, but the thoughts about work carries on in the mind. So that those thoughts kind of don't allow you to sleep, and then that frustration from work kind of you bring it at home. For example, if an employee shouts at his, a boss shouts at his employee, the employee comes home and shouts at his wife, the wife shouts at the child, and the child kicks the dog, and the dog bites the postman. So it's a very common cartoon kind of, you know, the it spills over. So frustration from the work spills over in your personal life. And similarly, the frustration from our personal life also spills over our work. For example, when people, a lot of times what they do, they come on the weekend, they party all day and all night, or they might be using some substances, or they might be having a hangover, or they might be involved in some digital devices or OTT platforms. They may be consuming and binge watching all the devices, all those OTT platforms. And this kind of gives rise to social jet lag and a hangover. And this, because of this hangover or because of this social jet lag, the entire week we end up recovering from our sleep. You know, the entire week is spent in just kind of in a dazed manner, lethargic manner. So work should not spill over our personal life, and personal life should not be carried on forward to our work. Other thing, after creating the boundaries, it's important thing is to find time for ourselves. And what we can do to find time for ourselves? First of all, now between work and home, there's commuting time. Now, many of us have work from home, so we don't have that kind of a commuting time these days. But commuting time can be made good use of, because that's the one time when you're going to spend with yourself, where you have complete control of yourself, where you are with your own self and nobody else to disturb you. So suppose when you're commuting back from work towards home, that time you can do all your binge watching news, all your OTT, all your social media activities, you know, whatever social media activities you want to do after coming back from work, it's good to do that so that it helps you switch off from the work also, and it helps you complete your get in touch with whatever is left at the end of the day. And while going back to work the next day, while commuting back to work the next day, you want to feel productive, so you can think about your strategies for the work. You can think about analyzing how to plan your work, you know, whether to what time will you do the activities that require concentration, and what time will you do routine activities, or you can listen to something else maybe that is productive, like podcasts or audiobooks. So make you good use of a commuting time, and that, because that's the time where you can, you're totally with yourself. Second is, it's good to de-stress. Now, work, now it doesn't happen that there's a stress and suddenly we develop symptoms. You know, now boss shouts at you, and but the boss may forget about it, but you carry forward the stress, and it's the length of time that you carry that gives rise to symptoms. Now, something or the other, you all of us are vulnerable to some or the other stress at work. For example, there may be toxic atmosphere, there may be boss who's rude, there may be office politics, you may not get promotions, or you may not get that appraisal. So there may be many other problems in the work. But then we have to have some buffer so that we are able to bounce back. Some activities that helps us in regular de-stressing. So it may be our coffee time, it may be our yoga routine, or it may be a time where we spend with our friends. So some de-stressing activity that helps in relaxing. It may be simple activities like deep breathing or meditation, which are also very helpful. Other thing is important to have a restorative leisure. So what do I mean by restorative leisure? Now, when you get the benefits of leisure is when actually the leisure helps our mind in wandering. You know, so what I mean by that is, suppose you are in front of TV or you are in front of a screen. That time you are hooked onto TV or hooked onto a screen. So that time your mind doesn't wander. But suppose you are in the nature or you are reading a book. That time your mind wanders towards pleasant locations and you like daydreaming. Then you come back again to what you were reading. But your mind pleasantly wanders to a nice place. That actually helps in relaxation. So whether your leisure activities are really productive and which actually rejuvenate and relax you is important. So it's important to pursue active leisure activities and not just passive consuming. And the other thing is, important thing is to empty your cup or leave some blank spaces in your life. For example, we are creatures of routine. No, we are on auto mode most of the time. We don't know when we go to work and come back from work and how the day ends. Because all we do is eat, sleep, repeat, work, again, eat, sleep, work, repeat. So these have been our day-to-day routine and we just don't know how days pass by, weeks pass by, months pass by. And we are completely on the auto mode. So for a change, take a break from whatever you're doing. Don't do that. If you're working for one day, take a break. If you go for a regular walks, take a walk in a different park. If you go from a certain direction towards work, go from a different direction. Learn some new skill or don't learn or don't do whatever you are already doing. That helps in kind of bringing some space in our lives where we can think about ourselves, what exactly are we doing and can any change work for the better. So this is how I think we can plan our day-to-day life and work and our personal life, and then it does help in developing what does it ultimately help is developing our resilience so that we can bounce back and we can, you know, get ourselves and manage our day-to-day life very brilliantly, and we don't become prey to a lot of illnesses like either lifestyle illnesses like diabetes, blood pressure, or even mental health illnesses like depression, anxiety, etc. And thus we end up living a full productive life in full swing, and I wish you that you also do the same. I wish you best wishes for the future, and it was really great talking to you all.